First Thessalonians, chapter number 5, and we're going to start by reading verse number 14. And we're going to read through verse number 24. First Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning with verse number 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. You didn't know they were talking about me in the scriptures, but there you go. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Our text verse is verse number 18. We're going to read that again, verse number 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this simple little message we're about to hear. I ask, Lord, that you would meet with us in a special way. I thank you for each and every person that's here today. And Lord, if there's one here today that does not know for sure that if they died, heaven would be their home, I ask that today would be the day that they'd receive you as Savior. Speak to our hearts. Draw us closer to you. And give us something that we could apply to our lives as we go through this week. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Every time I read this verse, or think of this verse, I think of a little song we taught my children when they were little. It goes like this. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And of course you repeat it over and over again. It's just a little song we taught our children when they were little, and I think of it all the time. It's an amazing thing, everything that's in this verse. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's an individual statement. Something God lets us know that He wants for us. I want to speak to you, though, on this subject. Are we thankful? Are we thankful? Thank you notes. Random acts of kindness. Small gifts. A little hug. A simple verbal thank you. These are all ways we show appreciation, but it seems like they're absent from our society today. I remember when I was young, if someone would send you a gift or give you a gift, we would immediately sit down the next day, take out a paper and a pen, and either a card or a letter, and we'd write a thank you note. Simply, it might just be, thank you for giving me this wonderful gift. And we'd write down what that gift was, or thank you for thinking of me and giving this to me. But it seems like that's oddly absent from our society today. There are so many different ways to show appreciation, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think they come naturally. I believe that's why God, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, gives us a commandment to be thankful. Knowing that gratefulness may not be an incentive in our life for some reason, it's not instinctive in our life, it doesn't sometimes seem a natural part of our life or the way we behave. So God puts a statement, a command, if you will, a request, or simply this, an understanding of what His will is for you and I, to give thanks in everything. I love the fact it says in everything. It doesn't say just for a few things. It doesn't say just for the good things. It just doesn't say for the gifts you receive. But in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I was speaking with a preacher yesterday on the telephone. He was telling me that he's going to start a new church, and I told him that was wonderful, and he says this is an opportunity for him to find out what he did wrong when he made the first, when he started his first church. And I said back to him, you know, maybe what you think you did wrong really wasn't anything wrong. It was simply maybe God directing you in the way that He wanted you to go at that moment. Whether things are bad or whether things are good, whether things are pleasant or whether things are sad, whether things are exciting or maybe heartbreaking, and everything that happens in your life and my life, God's admonishing you and I to be thankful. In everything, give thanks. For this, what? Giving of thanks. For this is the will of God. Okay, maybe that's Old Testament. But I'm glad what he says next. In Christ Jesus. So you are who are in Christ Jesus, you and I, who are saved, have heaven as our home. He's talking directly to you and I in Christ Jesus concerning you. I'm glad it doesn't just say my wife there. Or it doesn't just say me. Or it just doesn't say a child. Or it doesn't just say an adult. It's everybody. If Jesus Christ lives in you, abides in you, then our Father's perfect will for you and I is for giving thanks for everything that comes our way. It seems the older I get, the more I spend time with people, the less I see the simple kindnesses that should be there. The kindnesses of a thankful attitude in our daily life. It seems like people are increasingly honking their horns, stealing your parking place, fail to send a thank you note, fail to show appreciation for hard work. Now why? Why are people like that? Why are we like that? Why are people, you and me included, unthankful in this generation? Well, I think there are some things that we could learn about being having ingratitude. So, and why it may be happening today. I think the first two are interesting. The third one is really the one I want to dwell the most on. I got 3 points for us today, the things that we can learn about having the reasons that we may be having ingratitude. So let's take a look at what causes us not to be thankful. Number one, comparing our lives or ourselves to others. Oftentimes, we're not grateful for what we have because we compare our life to somebody else's. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12, it says this, but they measuring themselves by themselves, comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. So the Bible's telling you and I that maybe it's not a wise thing. In fact, it's not a wise thing for us to be comparing ourselves to others. Is it warm in here? Is it warm in here to y'all? Alright. So maybe it's not wise, and it isn't wise. It's not wise for you to compare yourself to somebody else, or for me to compare myself to somebody else, or even for me to compare myself to myself. Because if I just look at myself, sometimes I'm pretty satisfied with who I am, and where I'm at, and what I'm doing, and there's other times I'm totally discouraged with who I am, where I'm at, and what I'm doing. So this is not a wise thing for us to do. It's not a wise thing for us to compare ourselves. Well, I wish I was like them over there. Do you know how wonderful they must have it? It's amazing how many people think that somebody else has it better than they do, and then we find out that the people we think have it better than we do don't really have it better than we do. It's amazing how many lives are all the same, but we think the grass is always greener. I used to say years ago, and I'm going to say it today, I haven't said it in a long time, the grass may be the grass over the fence may be better, but it's probably over a septic tank. Because greener grass seems to grow over in that septic tank. So it's not the kind of green that you and I may want to have in our life. It doesn't seem God's in favor of everyone else thinking about everyone else's own life, or even our own life. We need to be consistent about thinking about what's going on today. I can't change my past. You can't change your past. I can affect my future, but I don't know what it is because I'm not there yet. But there is one thing I have complete control over, and that's this moment. And so I have complete control over this moment. Let's be grateful for what's going on in this moment. I'm grateful that God still gives me life. He still gives me air in my lungs so I can get the gospel message out to other people. I'm grateful that He gave me air today. I'm grateful that I ate breakfast. I ate breakfast today. I'm looking forward to dinner sometime soon. I like the fact that Thanksgiving is coming where we get to eat. I love holiday time. We're getting to my favorite time of the year. I've already started listening to Christmas music. I know that's probably against everybody's rules because it isn't Thanksgiving yet. But I love Christmas music. It's my favorite time of the year. It seems like a time where everybody gets nicer. A time of excitement. When yards light up with lights and electric bills skyrocket. And you can drive down the road and everybody says something to you like, Happy Holiday, or Merry Christmas, or Happy New Year, or Happy Thanksgiving. All these things will be coming out of people's mouths over the next couple weeks. It's an exciting time. It's a time of anticipation. The time when we start to think about other people instead of ourselves. We think, what can I get this person? Or what can I do for this person? Or what? And we start thinking about, what can I give rather than what I can receive? It's exciting to me when this takes place. But most of our days and most of our life is spending looking at other people. But we need to realize that we need to look at our life and realize the value of the life that God has given to us. We need to realize God made you just as you are, with all your flaws, with all your weaknesses, with all your frailties. Listen, if there's a preacher that makes a lot of mistakes, you're looking at him. But you know, God did that on purpose. I think one of the reasons is so that you could understand that God doesn't expect perfection. I'm just doing the very best I can. And just because I'm doing the very best I can, oh, we may not have a church of thousands and thousands of people, but can I tell you what? We keep on giving out the gospel message. People keep getting saved. People keep getting baptized. God's word still affects other people. People are being encouraged through the internet. Many people are coming and listening to messages that I would never have an opportunity to preach to at any other time. We're reaching nations rather than just individuals. But you know, God made me like I am on purpose. God gave me the life that I've lived on purpose. God gave me the parents He gave me on purpose. God raised me in the location He raised me in on purpose. Everything God has done, He's done on purpose because you and I are special to Him. It doesn't matter who you are or where you've come from. God knows you individually. God knows you so very well that He has every hair on your head numbered. That just amazes me. I think number 365 fell out of my head yesterday. Number 10,014 fell out today. But He's got them all numbered. He knows them. He knows that my hair is getting thinner. He also knows that I'm trying to pluck the hairs off my ears as they're trying to get thicker. It's just, that's how God knows us. He knows us. And you know what? God never makes a mistake. God never makes a mistake. Can I say that again? God never makes a mistake. Hey, did you know that God never makes a mistake? And since God never made a mistake and He made you like you are, He did that on purpose? Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Oh, He's a wonderful God. And for us to think that we have no value as we are in the position that we're in right now, that's not true. Because God knows your situation. God knows my situation. There's never an uh-oh with God. And God never makes a mistake. Now, we make mistakes, and we can wander outside of His will, and we can go our different ways. But the truth is that one of the reasons we're not grateful is because we keep comparing ourselves to other people and hoping our life will get better instead of realizing the life that we do have is the very life that God provided for you and I. Exactly the way He provided it. I think it's selfish thinking that causes us to wish we were somewhere else or somebody else. Because this is what we want, and we forget, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So your life individually, my life individually, is exactly as God would have it to be. Number two, why are we ungrateful? Why is thankfulness not a part of our life? Number two, we don't when we allow discontentment into our life. When we allow ourselves to become discontented, we become unthankful. When we allow ourselves to become discontented, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9 says this, but godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Sometimes we're just not content. We want more, and we want more, and we want more, and we want more. But God says, be content with what you have. Listen, you got food? That's a good thing. You got clothing? Oh, I only got a little bit of clothing, but the question is, do you have it? You got clothing? Did you sleep in a warm bed last night? That's a good thing. We ought to be contented with some of the things we have. We're always looking to get more so we can buy more. So we can have a yard sale. To sell our more into somebody else who doesn't have as much. For a third of the price or a quarter of the price or a 125th of the price of what we paid for it. Oh, we went out and bought something for $30. We sold it for a buck at the garage sale. Because we had to have it. Boy, I just have to have this. And we become discontented with what we have. I think all of us are guilty of that. Not just one person, not just one individual, but all of us. Especially here in our country. I can't get out of my mind how contented people in Cameroon, Africa were with so little. No, that doesn't mean they didn't want more, and that didn't mean that they didn't want to work hard, and that didn't mean they didn't want to improve their life. We all want that, including those folks there. But their floors were dirt in many cases. Their electricity or the power that they had was only on for a few hours at a time. They didn't have washers and dryers like we have in our home, and they didn't have refrigerating systems like we have in our home. And many of them didn't have any air conditioning, and many of them have glass in their windows at all. And many doors were simply a covering of a sheet hanging in a doorway. But it's amazing how cheerful they were. Oh my goodness, how they kept their white clothes white, I have absolutely no idea, because they'd go down to the river to wash them, and they'd come out just so white, and they'd put on these wonderfully beautiful, colorful outfits that they would make it by hand in their home. And on Sunday mornings, it was so exciting to watch people walk the dirt roads as they walked to church because they didn't own a car. And they'd go from place to place in their little village by walking everywhere. Because when they did have a car, the roads they did drive down were nothing but big holes in the ground waiting to consume your car. We call them chuck holes there. I just call them sinkholes. Because it would seem like it would swallow your whole car up before it ever get out. And they were grateful for what they had. And yet here, oftentimes, we're not grateful for all the wonders and marvelous things that we have at our fingertips. When I read these verses, I think of Job, who said in Job chapter 1, verse 21, said this. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I need to be content. He went from being the wealthiest man in the world to being the poorest man in his village. From having everything to having nothing, and now being sick and weak and sitting by the coals and the embers of the fire of the trash heap on the outskirts of the city, scraping his boils just for some comfort. And what does he say? Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return to the Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What a marvelous concept of gratefulness that we need to have. We must thank God for what He has given to us. And if we lose something and it takes it away from us, then we ought to be grateful that we had it for a little while and that we no longer have it. We need to express gratitude in all that we have, and all that we have happening in our life, whether it's great or whether it's small. As I grow older, and I grow in wisdom, I find a great value in everything, especially the small things of life. I find the small things of life are absolutely amazing to us. And so we need to be grateful for those things. So every morning when we get up, we ought to give God thanks for the morning, for what we have that morning, for the air conditioning in the summertime. Boy, that's nice, isn't it? For the heat in the wintertime. That's nice too, isn't it? How about for the covers that we pulled up over our heads overnight to keep warm at night? What about the spouse that lays next to us in our bed? What about our children who are asleep in their rooms? And everything, we need to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Number three, the point I want to spend the most amount of time on is our lives are just filled with busyness. Why are we not grateful in the year 2012 as we should be? Because we're busy. We are so busy. Our schedules are so demanding. There's work and school and then church and then church functions and children's after school activities and family activities and shopping and special events we need to go to. It seems like every time you turn around there's somewhere that, and someplace else that demands your time, demands your energy, and we go to bed exhausted and we wake up exhausted and we just keep running and we just keep running, and some days we don't get nearly the sleep we would like to get, and sometimes we don't even have time to eat the food that we want to eat. We're busy. We're busy people. It seems like we're running around so fast we don't have time to stop and to realize what's going on around us. We forget to say thank you because we're too busy trying to get to the next place we're going to. We forget to look at the beauty that surrounds us because we're trying to get to the next place we're going to. It seems like it's rush, 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 go, 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 go. In other words, we don't even have time to look at the great creation that God has made and be grateful for that which He's given to us. This morning I just walked outside the church building here and saw those flowers, those mums. Beautiful mums on the table over here. Beautiful color. This time of the year, in November, when it should be snow covered outside, we have beautiful flowers out front. And I thought, what a marvelous God. Makes the right colors for the right time of the year. Those are fall colors. I thought, wow, what an amazing God we have. And oftentimes we just get way too busy to even think about what God has done for us. The beauty of today and the warmth of that sun on our bodies as we stand outside when it should be 32 degrees or colder out there. I heard recently a statistic that said Cleveland, Ohio is the number two darkest place in America in the wintertime. Number one is Chicago. We have less hours of sunlight, not daylight, sunlight, than any other place other than Chicago, Illinois. And I thought, oh my goodness, no wonder there's so much depression in the city of Cleveland. But the truth is that maybe we should be grateful for that. Maybe we should be grateful for everything. Maybe God has a reason for that. Instead of looking for an excuse of why it's this way, maybe we ought to just be grateful for why it's that way. It's easier to fall asleep. Because the sun's not shining in your eyeballs anyway. We need to say thank you for everything. We forget those who mean so much to us because we get so busy. We forget to express all the gratitude that we should for everything because we're too busy. Whether they are great things or small things, we need to be grateful for them. As I do grow older and I find a greater value, especially in the smaller things of life, than even the bigger things. I credit much of noticing this to the walking with God I've done over the years. Not that I'm a great walker with God, but He's taught me some things. We expect God to work in great big ways all the time. We expect everything we ask God for to be like, you know, crossing of the Red Sea. Moses going up to the mountain and thunder and lightning and smoke, and he came down and his face shone like a light bulb. That's what we expect, but that's not really where we find God most of the time. There are times like that, but may I say they're rare. Most of what we find in the Word of God are simple things, small things, ordinary things. when Jesus was born, he was born as an ordinary baby. In a hospital? No. In his mama's home? No. In a barn with animals all around him. The smell and the stench that was probably in the barn that night was not something that most Americans would enjoy smelling. Not comfortable. Probably not very warm. Yet, in a simple little barn. Taking the water out of a trough, filling it with hay. Mary and Joseph lay their brand new baby Jesus. That's pretty ordinary. That's pretty simple. Yet it's wonderfully great at the same time. Because unto us, a Savior is born. Christ Jesus. And we miss that. We miss the simplicity of the birth. It was just a birth like any other birth. It wasn't a great big birth. You didn't hear trumpets all across the world. Jesus of Nazareth has been born in the city of Bethlehem today. We didn't hear any of that. There's no big fanfare. A babe was born. Most of what God does, He does in small ways and oftentimes unnoticed. This is probably the most important statement I'm making this whole message. The way we learn that is by walking with God and developing a personal relationship with Him where we get to see the many small things He does in our lives by walking with Him and seeing Him do them. That's how we notice them. Listen, my wife does some marvelous things, but the reason I get to see so many marvelous things is because I spend so much time with her. I see those small things. I see those things. It's funny to me. I get tickled watching my wife sing some of the children's songs we sing. And how she stands. Just a little thing like that can tickle me like you wouldn't believe. And thrill me that she's my wife. Maybe the way she moves her mouth when she says a word or so. Now there's other things that are much bigger. But the small things thrill me just as much as the big things. Because we've spent 33 years together. We've gotten to know each other. We've got to see each other in the great things and in the bad things. In the wonderful times and in times of great sorrow. In times of great and illuminating and in times of great complexity and confusion. And when we walk with God on a daily basis, we get to see Him do those little things for us day after day and time after time. And we realize that that's where the power of God really lays. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11. I'm going to read that in just a minute. But Elijah is told to listen to the Lord. And that the Lord was going to speak to him. And here's what it says in verse 11 of 1 Kings chapter 19. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord." And he beheld the Lord, and the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before. And the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. That's that great, amazing thing we're looking for. And He wasn't in that great, amazing thing. Then it says, "But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. Lord, if You're real, shake the earth for me." But wait a minute, the Lord was not in the earthquake, He says. Then in verse 12 He says this, "And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." That's where the Lord was at. In that little thing. We're always looking for that life-changing thing to happen. "Dear God, if You're real, do this. Or You've got to change this. We've got to have this miracle." But He gives miracle after miracle after miracle in small ways and small ways and small ways, day in and day out. And we miss them because we're just too busy. Because we're comparing ourselves to other people. Because we just don't walk close enough to Him on a daily basis. So how long has it been since you did talk with the Lord on a daily basis? God wants us to be grateful. And the more time I spend with Him, the more grateful I become. And the more time you spend with Him, the more grateful we'll become. But we forfeit our chances of learning for gratitude because we allow these other things to intrude in our life. Make the time every day to walk with God. And here's what will happen. In everything, we will give thanks. Because we'll understand that is the will of God in Christ Jesus for each of us. So as you go into this Thanksgiving holiday this week, and as we take a few moments in gratitude, thank God for our country and thank God for our families and thank God for the food we have, and we thank God for those things. I'm grateful that we have a day that we take as Americans to be grateful for things. Let's be grateful for the things He's done for us on a daily basis. Father, thank You for what we've learned today. And Holy